serving Jesus, but in my own power. I was doing all I knew to do, but I was not prepared for the hour when a high mountain came into view. In my own strength I struggled to climb it, but oh, such weakness I felt. Somewhere on that mountain in darkness, I came to the end of myself. But when I came to the end of myself, He was there to give me His hand. When I said, I'm not able, He said, I am. In my weakness, I discovered the strength of the Lamb. His almighty power I felt when I came to the end of myself. There's a secret you may be missing as you struggle to just make it through. It will take more than your best to please Him. Jesus wants to live His life through you, so He'll bring you to high rugged mountains for a lesson that you must learn well. Then He'll patiently wait for the moment when you come to the end of yourself. And when you come to the end of yourself, He'll be there to give you His hand. When you say you're not able, He'll say, I am. In your weakness, you'll discover the strength of the Lamb. In victory, you'll say it is well. When you come to the end of yourself, and when you come to the end of yourself, He'll be there to give you His hand. When you say you're not able, He'll say, I am. In your weakness, you'll discover the strength of the Lamb. In victory, you'll say it is well. When you come to the end of yourself, when you come to the end of yourself.
Amen. Psalm 73. It's a joy to be here this morning. Let's just be honest, though. It wasn't my plan yesterday around noon to be here, standing here talking with you this morning. I was watching football. And let's just be honest. How many of you have stayed up far too late the past 2 weeks, have eaten way too much sugar, and right now are in somewhat of a comatose stupor? Yes, I could tell. I was up here watching you sing that last song. What was the last song we sang? What was it? Remember? Yeah. Now I saw this. We're singing about the resurrection of Jesus. I thought, I feel you. You know, they've been watching some football this past couple weeks, bowl games. They talk about the opt-outs and the second team, the B and the C team, getting called up. Well, that's what happened this morning. So you're dealing with the C team here. Brother Tony wasn't supposed to sing. The family that was supposed to sing had some sick kids. And so Brother Tony filled in, and I'm filling in. So if you came to hear Pastor, I'm sorry for the disappointment. But we're not here to hear Pastor. We're here to hear from the Word. And that's why we're here. So I fully get it. We've had family in the past 2 weeks. In fact, our family, the last member of our family, just pulled out the driveway this morning. And so I know what it's like to be a little bit disjointed. I'm there right now. But I do know that what we're going to look at this morning is incredibly important. And so I've been actively praying for you, obviously for me too, but for you, because I know what it's like to sit in a service and try to stay awake after these last 2 weeks. And it's not easy, but the Word of God is quick and powerful, and we need to hear from God. A lot's happened. It's been for us an emotional Christmas, a fun Christmas, enjoyable, but it's been emotional as well. But here we are, January, what is it today, 2nd, I think, maybe. And we're getting back into the routine. And you're like, routine? What's that? We need to hear from God this morning. Look with me what the Bible says in Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. What is Asaph saying here? He's acknowledging God is good. I believe it. But personally, I'm struggling. I'm not getting it. I'm not feeling it, if we could put it in modern parlance. Perhaps there's some of you today that are having some deep questions. You're questioning some things personally that you don't want people to know about. You've got some deep fears, some issues. Well, you're not alone. And the message this morning is appropriate and helpful for every single one of us, myself included, but especially for parents, especially for young people who are considering life, challenging things, questioning things inside. And today we're going to look at God's Word and gain answers and help. Let's pray. Father, we need your help today. It's been a busy couple of weeks, been an exhausting couple of weeks, and I know we're probably feeling all a little bit tired and perhaps ready in some ways to get back to normal, even though we've enjoyed the time away. Lord, would you help us to pay attention to your Word? I pray for speaker and listeners that they would listen intently, that you would guide us, that the Holy Spirit would have free reign in our hearts and lives, and that the Word of God would do its work. And Lord, you know in advance that the day would be like it is. I pray that you'd heal those who are sick, including Pastor, that you'd help and encourage people, and that you'd still our hearts, that we would listen to your Word. We would ask these questions that Asaph asked 3,000 years ago, and that your Word would challenge us from within. Oh, Lord, I need you. And I admit I was not planning to preach this morning until yesterday, and I pray that you would help me guide my thoughts, my words. Would my speech be appropriate and helpful and biblical? And would we as a congregation take steps of faith today because of what we learn, what we read, and how we grow from Psalm 73? We need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Why does evil exist? It's a big question for January 2nd, isn't it? Is God in control? Yeah, we're here in Faith Baptist Church. Of course God's in control. Amen, yeah. And we sing God is good, and we actually sing it. It's in the back of our songbook now, the song that we occasionally sing. We believe it, but time out, hold on. What about the Christians that are getting slaughtered around our world? What about the evil that's approaching and seems rampant, even this week in our own community? What about the difficulties that we face? And it seems like, God, why do you allow this to happen? Is God sovereign? Absolutely. Is God in control? So then why doesn't he just get rid of evil? Because I know if I were God, I'm not. But if I were, there's a few things I would do on day one, right? There's a few individuals, entities, philosophies, ideologies that would suddenly be gone from the earth. And I'm not saying that in a mean, vindictive way, but why does God allow evil to keep going? It's a big question. In fact, that's one of the biggest questions that the Bible answers, or doesn't even answer at times, but the Bible deals with. And Habakkuk asked this question in Habakkuk 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet had seen. Habakkuk says, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me." Job asked this question. In fact, pretty much the entire book of Job is dealing with the question of evil. In Job 21, he asked, "Wherefore do the wicked live? Become old, yea, are mighty in power. The entire book deals with this question. Revelation chapter 6. When they had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So even during the tribulation in heaven, there's going to be saints that will be crying out and say, Lord, what are you doing? Why? Because we know God has power. God could, with one snap of his finger, boom, gone. Don't you wish he would sometime? Of course we do. Well, Asaph is just like us. I've come to appreciate Asaph's Psalms. And if you're getting used to your Bible or just new to it, the Psalms weren't written by one man. In fact, they're written by several different men. And Asaph has several Psalms here, right in the middle of your Bible in the 70s. And if you look down, you see the little thing right below Psalm 73, a Psalm of Asaph. Do you see that? That's actually inspired and preserved. The Psalm titles, the numbers are not. Those we've added in later, the church has, through the decades and through the centuries. But a Psalm of Asaph, and you see several of the Psalms have that. A Psalm for Solomon, a Psalm for David, a Psalm of David, a Mishaph. There's different titles and stuff. But that's actually preserved and inspired for us. Who was Asaph? We're not exactly sure, but we do know from his Psalms that he asked some important questions. He thought deeply. He's an analyzer. He thought biblically. And he asked questions about life and the meaning of life and the purpose of life and history and why should we live and how should we live. David, I love David's Psalms. He's very emotionally in tune and he deals specifically with our emotions and our heart. Asaph asked some big questions. And this morning, let's ask this question that Asaph does. We begin by seeing evil examined. We read it a few seconds ago, but look again with me what it says. Truly, God is good to Israel, even as such as through a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Asaph starts to think and he gives us his thoughts here, then they're inspired for us. Why is it that typically fundamental Bible-believing Christians, ministries and stuff, don't have as much money as the evil ones do? Who has the money? It's the cults. It's it's the people who have the oil that fund terrorism. And yet God's people who believe the book, who follow him, oftentimes aren't that well funded. And Asaph sees that. Look at verse 4. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. He says it seems like they get to die peacefully. It seems like they have power all the way to the grave. And isn't it seemingly unfair that some of the most wicked men in history have gotten to live to an old age and die in peace? Think about Joseph Stalin, the butcher, who got to die a natural death. That's not fair. Obviously, many men have been the victim of a coup or an assassination. But that's not fair. God, your people are getting killed, and yet wicked men are getting to live in old age. Look at verse 5. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. They're free from trouble. They have their empires, their security forces, their money to pad them, while we face scorn, and believers around the world are getting slaughtered. God, why? Why do you allow this to happen? Verse 6, therefore pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. They're proud and they're self-sufficient, and because they get away with it, they keep going with it. They don't give up. It seems like the more evil happens, the harder they get, and the more they think they can get away with it. Verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They're self-sufficient. They don't need Jesus. They don't need the Bible. They got what they need. And it seems like, God, why don't you just get rid of them? Why don't you show them exactly who they are? Have you ever had questions like this? A lot of us have. Perhaps if you're young here today, you may not have thought these lines, but I can guarantee you, parents, we've thought about this. What about my kids? What's the world that I'm going to leave them? What about this evil that keeps approaching, just this materialistic socialism that is overwhelming our country and taking away biblical values? We could go on, and it's troubling. It's disconcerting. Verse 7 again, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They're evil and they're blasphemous. Why is it that the biggest voices in our society are the ones that are most corrupt? The people who get listened to are the scoffers. Bill Nye gets a big place. Ken Ham gets ridiculed. You've seen that? The talking late night host who blaspheme the name of God and get away with it. Ooh, it boils my blood. God, what are you doing? Why don't you silence them? Because you're the God of heaven. You created all there is. And why do you let these imbeciles talk to you like that? You ever thought about that? You're not alone. Asaph has too. They set their mouth against the heavens, verse 9, and their tongue walketh through the earth. They get away with it. They're blasphemous. We could talk about all these people who have been seemingly brilliant men who have set their face against God and seemingly have won. Paine, Hawking, Voltaire. We could go down through history, the list of smart people who have been against God with their life. Asaph had those people in his day too. Verse 10, therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. Verse 11, and they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? They question God. They don't believe he exists. They doubt the veracity and the validity of God. I've got to be honest. I've talked with many believers who inside, if they were honest, have had questions about the nature of God. Is God truly good? And yes, we will walk into church and then win the congregation because there's positive peer pressure. We'll sing, God is so good. But when we're all alone in the dark at home, we just had this conversation with family members that don't believe the truth. And we begin to wonder, is God good? Is God real? Let's be honest. Is it okay to be honest on Sunday morning in church? We've all been there. And if you haven't yet, don't worry, you will. What does that mean? I mean, I'm a weak person. Yeah, we're all weak people. So Asaph is just being honest here. And Asaph goes on, he says, well, we've seen the evil's effects. We've seen what they are, evil examined. But let's look at evil's effects on the righteous. Look at verse number 11. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And Asaph says personally in verse 13, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. I have personally seen the eroding of faith in God's people, especially young people who grow up in a Bible preaching church, in a Bible setting, in a conservative setting, who go off to some college, or maybe not even a secular college, but go somewhere else, and they go and they get their faith eroded. They get their faith shaken. And they start to wonder, and is it really worthwhile living a consecrated life? Is it really worthwhile following all these rules, these standards, all these things? Should we even do it? Is it worthwhile? Well, Asaph is asking this. God's people, it says, verse 14, endure calamity. For all the day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. How many of us have turned on the news and within our soul gone, why? God, please come back. 2022 would be a great year for Jesus to return. And I don't say that because I want to get out of this place, but I do want to get out of this place. I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back. Lord, would you come back and show people what's right? You can't believe a thing on the internet anymore. Not a thing. The talking heads on TV, you can't trust them. No one. What can you trust? This is it. God, why don't you just return and take care of this mess? Asaph was troubled. He says, verse 13 again, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. And he says in verse 15, if I say I will speak this thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. He gets personal here. How many parents, and you don't even have to raise your hand, how many parents or grandparents here this morning have had questions internally that you didn't share, perhaps with even your spouse, because you didn't want them to get worried about you? You're not raising your hand, but I can see your faces. And I, yep. We're there. You're not alone. You're not. Asaph had those questions too. I'm dealing with something internally, and I don't even know what to say. I don't even want to talk about it, really. I definitely want to tell my six-year-old about it because God is so good. I want them to stay in that. But personally, I look around and look what's happening, and I see things, and I look at the country, and I look at, I don't even want to go down that road. And if I even go down that road, I'm afraid I'll hurt people because I'm asking these questions. You ever been there? Yeah. You ever been scared to ask those questions, even say anything about it? Yeah. You're not alone. 3,000 years ago, Asaph had the same things. If I speak this out loud, I'm going to offend people. I'm going to hurt the young people. I don't want to say my fears out loud because I want my kids to believe in truth. I want them to have a firm foundation. I've been there. Father of six. Yeah, wow. I think a lot. I wonder, what am I leaving for my kids? And any parent of biblical thinking does the same thing. Look at verse 15. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Asaph is overwhelmed. He's troubled. You go back to verse 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I'm about to jump off the deep end here, he says. I'm struggling. And it's possible, and it's even probable, that there's folks today in this auditorium who are born-again, Bible-believing Christians. You're saved on your way to heaven. And yet, personally, inside, if you were honest, you're about ready to jump. And you wouldn't tell anybody that because we're at church. But you're there. Because you're looking around at what life has to offer, and you're looking at what the future holds, and you're looking at, it's not pretty. It's not good. You're thinking with me. I can tell that this morning. So what's the answer? Look down at verse number 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. We see evil answered. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Asaph had his eyes right here. It's bad. It's bad. What's really bad? Oh, it's still bad. Ah! Whoa. God reigns. Our God, who created everything, who needs nothing, sits on his throne. Let all the earth be quiet. God's in charge. He rules, he reigns, and that is the only sanity that you and I have in this crazy, crazy world. I want you to think with me for a little bit. Does Job ever get his questions answered? No. Did Habakkuk ever get his question? You may not be familiar with the prophet Habakkuk, but did he ever get his questions answered? No. What does he come to the conclusion of? I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to praise God. And here's the faith aspect of this. You go through the scriptures, and oftentimes evil never gets its question answered. Does that mean we're just ostriches and we just stick our head in the sand? No. It means that we don't get the answer that we seek for. God, why do you allow these people to keep blaspheming your name? He doesn't answer. He says, just trust me. Just walk with me. Come to my sanctuary. Come know and walk with me and dwell with me. Obviously, we know the future. We know what's going to happen. And Asaph goes there. He says, look in verse number 18. He says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down in destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakeneth, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. What is Asaph saying? When they breathe their last on this earth, that's it. They wake up in eternal punishment. And their terror against God's people is done. Jesus in Luke 12 told his disciples, don't be afraid. Don't be scared of those people who can kill the body. Well, that's something pretty important. I'd like to keep the body alive. Obviously, after eating the last couple of days, we probably need to work on keeping the body alive. But Jesus said, don't fear him. Fear the one who has power to cast into hell. Why shouldn't we fear the people who can kill us? Because after they kill you, they run out of ideas. They're done. But where are we going? Home. Heaven. So don't fear that. Asaph, get your eyes up to the sanctuary of God. Get to the presence of God. The wicked won't be around forever. David said in Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withers the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou shalt be fed. But the transgressors, verse 38, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. You see, if you keep reading through the Bible and if you keep studying your word, you find that the question of evil doesn't always get an answer. But what we do have is the sure promises of God. We can keep going by faith. We can know that God is in control. God has us. Look again what it says down at your Bible in Psalm 73. Asaph admits, I've been wrong. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. And then he gives us three truths that I want us to see and I want us to take home this morning. He says this. First off, thou hast holden me by my right hand. Hey, has it been a busy year? Has it been a problematic year? Is there difficulties ahead? Yeah. God has you. Amen. And not just left hand. By what hand? Right hand. Amen. Those of you who have small children, which and you're right-handed, how do you normally carry your small child? With your left hand. Right? Because you need your right hand to open the doors, to wipe a kid's nose, do whatever you got to do. Speaking as a dad of young kids, so you carry the baby right here. So you can use this hand. But God doesn't carry us with his weak hand. Not that he has a weak hand. He carries us with his strong hand. And he says, I've got you. We could say it like this. To make it personal, we could say, I am protected. Can you say it with me? I am protected. And truth be told, we have to go back, and Asaph had to go back and remind us of these simple truths. God has me. God is protecting me. That's what we need. Look what it says again in verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me. You're holding me. You're protecting me by my right hand. Look at verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. So not only does Asaph say, I'm protected, he says, I am guided. Or we could say, I am led. Can you say it with me? I am guided. I am guided. Do you have questions this next year about direction of life? How many have questions? How many have fears? How many have, I don't know what this world's going to hold. I don't even know what this next month's going to hold. I got questions. Yeah, we're all there. Good news. No matter what's happening out there, God is leading, guiding, and helping in here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me. Perhaps this morning there's some families who need some leading. There's some dads, especially, who need some direction. There's some young people who need some guidance, some direction. You're looking around and you're, what's going to happen? You're a little bit scared. You're a little bit fearful based on what's happening. Economically, it's not a pretty picture. Inflation, yay, yay. What you had is no longer worth what you thought it was. What you thought you're going to retire on? Good news, you're going to need more. It can be a little bit disconcerting. Hey, God has me. I'm protected. I'm led. I'm guided. He's got me. Look at the end of verse 24. And afterward, He's saying, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward, receive me to glory. I am secured. God keeps me. Can you say it with me? I am secured. I am secured. You know, these are simple truths, aren't they? I am protected. I am guided. I am secured. We learned those. I learned those in kindergarten. But we still need those, don't we? Absolutely. Still need to go back to those truths. Still need to go back to the simple things of life. Asaph goes and he admits, I was wrong. I had my eyes in the wrong place. I'm looking at all this happening and I'm, oh, what's going to happen? God, why don't... Oh, hold on, hold on. Until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. God, they're here but for a moment. But you've got me. You're leading me. You're protecting me. You've secured a place for me. Keep your finger here and look over at what Jesus said in John 10. Familiar passage. Look at beginning in John 10, chapter 10, verse 28. Back up to verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I, this is Jesus speaking, give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Jesus gives eternal life. And then look what it says. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus himself is the one who's keeping us secure. Titus 1 says that in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Friends, if we can lose our eternal life, then God is a liar. That's a strong statement, but I wouldn't say that, but that's exactly what the Bible says. God himself has us secure. Now, I've used this illustration here, but imagine I don't have my youngest ones with me. They're home with under the weather this morning. But imagine my little two-year-old, little, I call her Squish, Amanda comes up to the stage and I have a little candy in my hand. Do you think if I wanted to keep it from her, do you think she could get out of my hand? No. Now, I picked on my younger one because my older ones would gang tackle me and tickle me and probably get me to loosen my hand eventually. But my little two-year-old, no matter what she could do, could never get this out of my hand unless I let her get it out. Why? Is that because I'm so much more massively strong and just, why are you laughing? No, it's because I'm dad. She's two. Now, how much infinitely stronger, more capable, more powerful is our Heavenly Father, or is Jesus, who has us in his hand? You are secure. But Brent, did you see the news media? Did you see what happened? Yeah, I did. It's bad. But I'm secured. I'm with God. God has me. But look again at what it says in John 10 and look at verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So not only does Jesus have you in his hand, but the Father has you in his hand as well. So right there, and look at verse 30, I and my Father are one. So right there, two members of the Godhead are actively involved, keeping you in their hand. God the Father has you. Jesus has you. That's security. That's better than your insurance can do, right? So where's the Holy Spirit in all this? Oh, he's inside of you, securing you, sealing you into the day of redemption. That's security. That's better hands than being in Allstate's hands. I can tell you that right now. God has you. And you and I are secured. We are protected. We are led. But Brent, what about those Christians? And there's been hundreds of thousands, even last century, even this century, there's been tens of thousands of believers who have paid for their lives, paid with their lives for following Christ. Where are they now? They're in heaven. They're safe. They're home. But they weren't safe down here. But this isn't home. This isn't it. We have to keep an eternal perspective in mind. And any time we start looking down here, looking at the evil here and the problems here, and we're not trying to make this place better. We're trying to share light into this dark world. The world's going to keep getting worse and worse, 1 John says. It's going to get darker and darker. But we have the light, and that light is the guiding light. We are protected. We are guided. We are secured. And we need to live like that. Look down at your Bibles back at Psalm 73. And look what it says here. In fact, let's read these last several verses, beginning in verse number 25, together as a congregation. And don't just read them to read them because we're taking up space in the service, but think about them. This is absolute truth beyond what your emotions are saying, beyond what your fears are telling you, beyond what the world says to think. This is truth. Read them with me, beginning in verse 25. Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. 3,000 years ago, roughly, this man named Asaph had some questions. I've had them too. Perhaps you have as well. Perhaps some of you walked in this morning with a troubled soul. What's going to happen this year? What's going on in our country? What's going on in our world? What's going on economically? What's going on in our church? What's going on in our family? My kids? We could go down the list. Health? Hey, wait a minute. Look to God. The sanctity, the only sanity we have in this life, is you and I walking with Him. And that right there should cause us to pause. Cause us to reevaluate our fears. Because God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but a power and sound mind. And yes, this world is wicked. But we don't have to live scared. We don't have to be Chicken Little. The sky's not falling. Well, Jesus is coming back one day in the sky. But it's nice, the sky's not falling. We can live bold, confident, assured lives. But look at the evil. Yeah, it's out there. But God's on the throne. He rules. He reigns. He's in control. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. I did not speak to this, but perhaps there's some of you here who you have fear. You're scared because you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You don't have that assurance that you are securely in the hand of God. Friend, I'd like to pray for you. I know you may be a visitor. This may be new to you. But how many would say, Brent, I don't know I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure. I've got questions about my eternal destiny. I don't know that if I died right now, I'd be in heaven. Would you quietly, with heads bowed and eyes closed, just lift your hand so we could see that? We want to pray for you. Brent, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. Would you lift your hand so we could see that? How many of you are going to be honest this morning and say, Brent, I can identify with Asaph. I even recently have had some deep questions, some fears. As a parent, a grandparent, as a concerned citizen, as a conservative Christian looking at the future, I've had some fears. And God this morning used His word to convict, to challenge, to encourage me this morning. Would you lift your hand? Amen. Amen. How many folks would just, and this may tie into the last question, how many folks would just say, Brent, God used His word to encourage me. I'm protected. I'm guided. I'm led. I'm secured. God used His truth in my heart just to encourage me this morning. Would you lift your hand to that? Praise the Lord. Piano's going to play like we normally do. And if God has spoken, I'd encourage you to respond how He would have you respond. Father, thank You for truth. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the questions that Asaph recorded for us so that we can live by faith. We can trust in Your word and promises even more. Thank You for truth in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand. The pianist is beginning. If God has spoken, you respond.